because here's somebody facing death and says, look, I can't pretend Jesus is not real just because you're going to kill me. Oh, we'll kill your family too. Well, they believe in Jesus too. How do you stop people like that? So here's Thessalonica, you know, pagan city, and there's persecution every place the gospel is mentioned. Paul himself got chased out of town. And here's people living with that every day. And that's a testimony that encourages others. And he says, verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only to Macedonia and Achaia. Once again, strategic location. Your faith in God's become known everywhere. Every caravan, every ship, every group of travelers and merchants, every wagon loaded with goods that went to the major corners of the world at one time probably went through Thessalonica. So what kind of an evangelism campaign and media blitz did these people have? You know what? They just lived their lives where they were. Interestingly, one of the guys that came on Sunday morning came because he's been pestered in a kind and inviting kind of way to come by Richard. Sharing Jesus is meant to be. It means where you are, you just live your life for him. And if the opportunity is there to talk to somebody, I love Mark's story about his supervisor. And so here's these people living in this. God saw to it that the seeds were planted in a strategic place. Their job was just to live their lives and speak openly. And of course, that's spreading everywhere. Often made me wonder why God put us here in this bookstore right on Route 1. I shudder to think, I still can't believe what we got this property for. This is a very valuable piece of property simply because it's on Route 1. And we bought it when we had only maybe 15, not even 20 people in our church when we bought this. And I've often thought, hey, I want to glow in the dark. We're sure in a good location. So Paul says, your faith in God's become known everywhere, and so I don't really need to talk about it. He says, everybody that's heard about you to your home, to you, have tenor flipped. And it's not. It's easy for us, as we were reading off the whole idea, verse 9 and 10, because we think of a true convert, or that's, you know, African country time. I want to for this fabulous. An idol is anything, in verse 10, anyone, the word rescues, but it's God's rightful place of conversion. The deal with money isn't just it's a pretty color. The deal with money is its power to indulge myself. And for some people, that's what they trust. That's what they're devoted to. That's what they honor. And it's an idol. Some people, it's religion. I got a few startled looks last night when I said that. But if you stop to think about it, the chief priests in Jesus' day and the Pharisees in Jesus' day were willing to kill the Son of God because their religion was threatened. Remember then in James, the word threskos that we looked at? It's the word that's translated religious, and it's always used in a bad connotation in the New Testament. It means someone who loves and is given to outward observances and rituals. And there are people that just love that. They don't actually need God at all. It's just their thing that they do. It's their idol. It's what they trust in. The other one on my list is self. People that think, I believe in myself. I'm going to fix this. Everything is going to turn out okay because I believe in me. Good luck with that, by the way. And that's probably the worst false god to have. So he said, you've turned from idols to serve the living and true God. I love the word living here because that means it's God is a person. He's not a force. He's not a principle. Forces are not living. Principles are not living. Persons, entities are living, and God is a person, living God. And I had you underline the word true. It's the word for genuine and real. Waiting. I think I have time, don't I? Said, if you could be in a place with me where I fill your whole field of vision and my voice is all you hear and my heart is all you hear, he said, you would have nothing to be afraid of. It wouldn't matter what's out there because you would be ensconced in that place, just like your kitty. Man, that was one of the most beautiful pictures I've ever seen in my life of this word, Ruo. Where he picks us up, he brings us to himself, he holds us in that place. Now, it's always our choice. We can fight him. We can obsess with the dog. But if I will allow him to do that, if I make that move to come up into his arms, he'll pick me up. And that's the way he conquers my fears. Mary and I were talking about that before church today. It's the reason that I'm not totally bound by fear the way I was for a lot of my life. It's all about Jesus. It's just letting him fill my whole field of vision and listening to his heart. Jesus, Ruo, Ruasthai, I think is the word that's in the text, but who rescues us from the coming wrath. Pretty good stuff. We got all the way through one chapter. Let's close. Don't know what to say, Lord, but thank you for that last word. What a great word. I pray, Lord, that we could live our lives with hope and that we would be motivated by love in all that we do. And that when we say we trust you, when we say we're leaning on you, that would be backed up with action. So grow us up, Lord. Thank you for every way that you test and exercise us. Thank you for all the years you spent teaching me perseverance. Obviously, then I needed it, and obviously it's helped me at this point in my life. Thank you for the fabulous future that we have. Keep that in our minds, Lord, that we can endure because we have hope. Bring this stuff back to our remembrance, we pray, Father, when we need it. And I pray that everyone that hears these words would take them to heart. In Jesus' name, amen.